All right, welcome 9:15 or 9:30, whatever you think, as Randy said. Great to have you here. Keystone, one of our values is we're a church on the move, right? Church on the move, and I don't think there's any greater example of that than four services. And so it's exciting to be at a place that is certainly on the move, and we believe that, and we're excited about what's going to happen. So we're glad you're here, and we welcome you to this historic 9:15 service. Great to have you. And as Randy mentioned, we are continuing in our series in the book of Joshua to begin this new year, kind of the final two chapters, which are really a faithful farewell from our guy, Joshua. And if you haven't been here for some of this series, all the sermons are online. You can check those out. It's been really good for me to go through this book, and I know for many as I've had conversations. So we're thankful for what God is doing. So go ahead and turn with me to Joshua chapter 23. Two more chapters. Pastor Brent will kind of close out for us next week in chapter 24. But again, part of the same sort of farewell from Joshua in chapters 23 and 24. As you're turning there to Joshua chapter 23, there's a monologue from a comedian named Brian Regan. Some of you may know Brian Regan. And the monologue is called The Me Monster. The Me Monster. And maybe you've heard that monologue. It's very funny. But in that monologue, what Brian Regan talks about is the me monster is that person in conversation, all right? So think about you're with a group of people and you're having a conversation about something and you have a story to tell. And so it's your turn to tell your story. And you think it's a pretty good story, and so you tell your story. It's a funny story. And you tell your story, and you think, that's a pretty good story I told. And, you know, everyone kind of laughs. And then there's that one guy after it gets quiet for a second, and he looks at everybody, he's like, that's nothing. And you're like, well, it was my story. It's something. But that me monster guy always has the story that's better than your story, right? And you're like, I don't know anybody like that. You're probably the me monster, okay? Nobody likes you. But just kidding, not really. Nobody likes you. The me monster. Maybe you have somebody like that in your family, like over the holidays, like your I'm glad Uncle Me Monster is gone, right? The me monster. And as part of that monologue, something that Brian Regan says is he would like to be one of the people who was on the moon. Because if you were in conversation, no one could say that's nothing, right? What, there's been like six people or whatever that have been to the moon? So you could kind of be in that conversation, just sit and let everybody tell their story. And then you could say, well, there was this one time when I was on the surface of the moon, right? No one's going to top that story. The me monster. Or it's like Toby Keith said, I like to talk about you, usually. But occasionally, I want one fan. I want to talk about me. Yes. Thank you. I want to talk about me. Okay. Today, we're going to talk about me. We're going to talk about you from the book of Joshua. Chapter 23 is about me, and it's about you. But not in the way you may think. It's very personal. Next week, we're going to conclude this teaching series. And here's something in these last two chapters. In the best sense, God, through Joshua, is saying to the people, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Not about you. I'm talking to you, God says through Joshua. I know this because I've circled these 56 times in this chapter. So Joshua 23 is what, 16 verses? It's not a huge chapter, but 56 times in this chapter, there's in the CSB version, there's some use of the word you. You, your, yourselves. Man, this chapter is about you. It's about me. God says, I'm talking to you through Joshua. It's personal. Listen, spiritual family is personal. And Joshua, the book of Joshua, has been about more than just spiritual family, right? At Keystone, that's a value for us, spiritual family. As a church, we may not be physical family, but we're spiritual family. And spiritual family is about a lot of things. It's about more than just being personal, but it's not about less than that. So Joshua 23 is personal. God says, I'm talking to you. Joshua says, God is talking to you. That's what he tells the people. It's personal. I want to look at several implications. Actually, I want to look at two implications from that. Hopefully you're there. I'm sure you are. Two implications from this message from Joshua, from God to the people. where he says it's personal. God is talking to you. Several implications. Before we look at those implications, it's interesting to consider Joshua. I want to take a minute to look at at Joshua being the man who says to these people, hey, God is talking to you. I think it's important. This might be a word for somebody here, just from what God says through Joshua chapter 23 and the fact that Joshua takes this opportunity to talk. Here's the way I said it. Maybe you want to write this down in your program or just kind of keep this in mind. Seize the moment to say something. All right, maybe somebody needs to hear that here today. We're on the cusp of 2020, and maybe 2020 is your year to speak up. I don't know who you are, dad, mom, husband, wife, employer, employee, boss, student, roommate. I don't know who you are, but maybe here's something God is saying to you. Seize the moment to say something. You're in a relationship. You're in a situation. You're in a job where you've kept your mouth shut. And God is saying, you know what? It's time for you to say something. Joshua today, as we find him at the end of the book, is uniquely qualified to say something. And he didn't miss his moment. That's important. I don't know about you, but the older I get, I look back over my life and think about plenty of times when I should have shut up. But I think about plenty of times when I should have said something, right? Like to my kids or to somebody I work with or by the grace of God, some stranger I met. Like, I should have said something. Why didn't I say something? So, okay, it's a new year. Seize the opportunity to say something. Don't miss the moment. Joshua is uniquely qualified to do that. He's uniquely to say, hey, God is talking to you and I got some things that God wants to say. He seizes the moment to say something. Why is he uniquely qualified? Well, look at verse 2. It says, so Joshua, this is Joshua 23:2. So Joshua summoned all Israel, including its elders, leaders, judges, officers, and said to them, I'm old. That qualified him. Seriously. He's been leading these people for a long time, and he's an old man now, and he's got wisdom and experience. I'm old, advanced in age. And you've seen for yourself everything the Lord your God did to all these nations on your account. And on he goes into this farewell address. Joshua knows his day's coming and it's time for him to say something. No one else is Joshua. Seizes the moment to say something. Jump over to verse 14. Joshua 23:14. Notice he reiterates, I am now going the way of the whole earth. That's depressing. That's what he says. I am now going the way of the whole earth. I mean, he's ready. He understands where he's at. I'm an old man and I'm about to die. And that uniquely qualifies me to say some things. And I'm going to say them. I don't know where 2020 finds you, but I'm guessing that there are some moments that you need to seize, that I need to seize to say something in our lives. Something for me with the holidays was family, right? Anyone else with family, like extended family, you're so glad when they come and you're so glad when they leave, right? Some of us, their dysfunction, my dysfunction, it's a lot of dysfunction. But it was so great to have family. But something that changes, the dynamic that changes in my family is we have a lot of cars to drive now. See, my reality is this. It's me and Jolynn, and we ride together. That's it. It's a beautiful thing. It's not complicated. She's always cold. I'm always warm, but it's just the two of us. We can battle it out. No one gets angry. My house was filled with family, and so we had car decisions to make, right? Who rides with whom? Who's driving? Who's leading wherever we go? If we have to take multiple cars, are we going guys and girls in the cars? Which car are we taking? My nephew at one point said, I'm not riding with you, Uncle Matt. I'm going to ride with Mom because our car has rear heated seats. What kind of billionaire person has rear heated seats? If ever I wanted to sit my nephew down and say, young man, let me tell you what it was like when I was your age, right? Let me tell you about vinyl seats and no air conditioning in the cars, right? I didn't do that, but I wanted to. And it's just so complicated in the car. And my son and daughter-in-law rode with us somewhere in the back, and they got hot, and we were cold, and It's a metaphor. Because I'll bet that the car of your life is pretty complicated. It's never an easy thing in the car of your life, is it? It's not in the car of my life. And man, it's complicated sometimes. And there's a lot of decisions to be made in the car of your life, in the car of my life. And for some of us, we've been sitting in the back seat and it's really hot and we haven't said anything. And 2020 is the year we need to seize the moment to say something. I wonder, where do you find yourself in the car of your life? And for too long, dad, you just haven't led in your home. And like it's your wife and your kids that drag you to church on Sunday. And grudgingly, you get up and go. And guess what, dad? It's time for you to step up and to say something like, you know what? I'm gonna take my role seriously here, and we're going to church, and we're doing this the right way. Parents, together, it's time to say something to the kids. Like, we've been letting a lot of things slide, and we need to get tools, and we need to get help and accountability. And husbands and wives, right? In your marriage, there's some things, and you're like, you know, 2020 is, if we don't seize it now, we're never gonna. Joshua says, I'm old and advanced in years. I'm going the way of the whole earth. If I don't say these things now, I'm never gonna say them. So before we jump into the implications of the personal message of this farewell, there's just a word for us here. Some of us today need to seize the moment to say something. Joshua is uniquely qualified to say some things here. And my guess is that for some of us, there's a lesson in that. In this chapter, Joshua says it's personal. God is talking to you. But even before we do that, let's not miss the fact that Joshua is the one who seizes the moment to say it. I wonder in 2020, is it the season to say something, to seize the moment? God is talking to you. It's personal. So what are the implications? God says through Joshua to the people, this is personal. I'm talking to you. What is he saying? Two things, all right? Two things. Among the things, there's two I want to highlight. Number one is this. God is saying through Joshua to the people, consider what you have. Consider what you have. In other words, Joshua is saying to the people, consider how blessed you are. Consider how blessed you are. Look at verse 14, Joshua 23, 14. I turned the page, sorry. I am now going the way of the whole earth, and you know with all your heart and all your soul that, notice this, none of the good promises the Lord your God made to you have failed. Everything was fulfilled for you. Not one promise has failed. A couple weeks ago, Daniel preached from Joshua chapter 21, 45. This is what Joshua 21, 45 says. Notice, this is Joshua again. You know with all your heart and with all your soul that none of the good promises the Lord your God made to you have failed. Everything was fulfilled for you. Not one promise has failed. It sounds similar, doesn't it? It's an anthem. It's a mantra. It's repeated words from Joshua. And it becomes a banner in a way that he kind of hangs over the people to say, this identifies us. This is who we are. These are our repeated words. This is the promise we always go to. This is what we have in God. None of these promises, none of these good promises that the Lord your God has made have failed you. I grew up a Pittsburgh Pirate in Pittsburgh Pirate country. They're terrible. They never win. But in Pittsburgh, the mantra is let's go Bucks. Like everybody chants that. Hashtag let's go Bucks. Everyone knows what that means, right? It doesn't change anything. They still don't win. But everyone knows what that means if you're a Pirate fan. I mean, I don't know what your thing is for your sport, hashtag whatever. But that's a banner you can hang over Pittsburgh Pirate fans. Let's go, Bucks. Man, friends, as it were, Joshua was saying there in 21:45 and then here in 23:14, all those good promises that God made to us have come true. And of all the difficulties that Israel has faced, Joshua constantly comes back to that. This is what you have. Consider what you have, the good promises of God. None of them have failed. All of them have come true. The repeated words. In some ways, friends, there's a pattern of reflecting, receiving, and reminding. Joshua tells the people, think about that. He tells the people, reflect on what God has done. And then receive that. Receive those promises to strengthen you. And then remind others. Three words for you to keep in mind. Are you doing that with the promises of God? Friend, listen, Keystone friend, if God is your father, are you doing that with his promises? Are you considering what you have? At the beginning of 2020, is it a good time to reflect on, look what God has done for me? And then as it were, receiving those things like, thank you, God. And then reminding your children, reminding your friends, reminding your influences of what God has done, of what you have if God is your father. Joshua says, consider what you have. It's personal. Reflect on it. Receive it. Remind others. It's all over the text. Look at three. Let's look at some of the promises he tells the people about. And again, under the banner of none of these promises have failed. Look at verse 3. And you have seen for yourselves everything the Lord your God did to all these nations on your account, because it was the Lord your God who was fighting for you. Jump down to 10. He basically says the same thing. One of you routed 1,000 because the Lord your God was what? Fighting for you. Here's another promise. 5. Verse 5. The Lord your God will force them back on your account and drive them out. God drove out those nations. Down at verse 9, notice, the Lord has driven out great and powerful nation. Here's another promise Joshua says that God has given you. He has driven out those nations, those influences. Look at verse 13. Here's another promise. Know for certain that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations before you. And then he says, you'll be in trouble if you don't do that. Then at the end of verse 13, he says, until you disappear from this good land, notice that the Lord your God has given you. Here's another promise that never failed. God has given you this land. The very last verse, look at the last line of the last verse, 16. This good land that he has given you. So at least three promises that I found in just a cursory reading, God fights for you. God drives out for you. God gives you. Hey friend, it's personal. Consider what you have if God is your father. What promise do you need to... Keystone brothers and sisters, what promise do you need today? That God fights for you? He does. None of these promises have failed. He fights for you. He drives out for you. He gives you. What's the promise? What's the promise that you need? Consider, Joshua says, consider what you have. Great promises. Reflect on it. Receive it. Remind others. How much praying did you do over the holiday? Isn't like the Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, that's when like the serious prayers get prayed, right? Like you got Thanksgiving dinner, big prayer. And then Christmas Eve dinner, big prayer. And Christmas Day, the biggest prayer of the year maybe. And then New Year's, kind of a big prayer, right? Like a lot of praying at my house. And I don't know, but maybe I'm showing my age, but you know, when I was a young man, I used to look at the, it's always grandpa who prays, right? And he prays too long. Like, oh man, grandpa land the plane. Let's eat. Well, I'm approaching that status now. And I got to tell you, when I stood before my family on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Day, my son just celebrated a birthday. I'm turning into my grandpa. Because I looked at that gathering of people and I realized what I have, right? And my kids are looking at me like, oh no, he's gonna go a long time. He's turning into grandpa. Why? They're young, right? They don't understand what I understand. I mean, when I was young, I was just like, pass the mashed potatoes. But now I know there's mercy that God has shown to my family. And there's grace that he has given me. And there's people that used to be in our gathering that aren't in our gathering anymore because of hard providence. And I tell you what, when I stand before that table, there's a lot of things that I say to myself. I have these because you've been good to me, God. None of these promises have failed. You've given to me. You fought for me. And I don't care if the food's getting cold. We're going to talk about it for a minute. Brothers and sisters, do you realize what we have with God as our Father? And do we take the time to reflect on that, to receive it, and then to remind others of it? Psalm 78, verses 2 through 4 says this: I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known, and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works he has performed. Man, I've been thinking a lot about those verses in 2020. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Perhaps we wouldn't run to Joshua 23 as quickly as we would run to Psalm 23, but perhaps we should. Because the promises of God for you and me in this chapter are significant. Consider what you have. Consider what you have. It's personal. So, pick your promise. What promise do you need? What promise that you have that the banner hanging over your life is, God has not failed you? What's that promise? God, I need you to fight for me. God, I need you to drive this out. God, thank you for what you've given me. I wonder, in this new year, what are some ways you will reflect on that? What are some ways you will receive that? What are some ways you will remind others of that? It's personal. Consider what you have. Consider what you have. Last thing is this: consider what you need. Consider what you have. Consider what you need. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. And you're like, wow, Matt, I would love to know a God like that. I would love to have a relationship with a God like that whose promises never fail, because right now there's a lot of failure in my life. What do I need? I'm glad you asked, because Joshua 23 shows us. Joshua says, it's personal. God says, I'm talking to you. And he says, this is what you have. Great promises that have never failed. So what do we need? Well, here's the thing. Chapter 23 comes with obligations and warnings as well as promises and blessings, right? What do you have? You have promises and blessings with God as your Father. But chapter 23 also comes with obligations and warnings. Let me show you. Jump back to verse 6. 23:6. Be very strong and continue obeying all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, Joshua says, so that, notice obligations and warnings, so that you do not turn from it to the right or the left. That phrase is used throughout the Bible. And so that you do not associate with these nations remaining among you. Do not call in the names of their gods or make an oath to them. Do not serve them or bow down and worship to them. Instead, be loyal to the Lord your God as you have been to this day. Obligations, warnings. Jump down to verse 11. So diligently watch yourselves. Love the Lord your God. Obligations and warnings. Jump down to the last two verses in the chapter. 15. Since every good thing the Lord your God promised you has come about, so he will bring on you every bad thing until he has annihilated you from this good land the Lord your God has given you. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow in worship to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you and you will quickly disappear from this good land he has given to you. Listen, the message from Joshua is personal, and it's a reminder of what we have, but it's also a reminder of what we need. As I've read those serious obligations and warnings, who here thinks it's going to go well for Israel? Who here is like, oh, that's easy. They can do that stuff. If you've read the rest of the book, you know that's not true. I mean, we go about two chapters in Judges, and the wheels come off, right? The wheels come off. all those obligations and warnings, they can't do that. And some of you are like, well, I don't need to look at Israel because I look at my own life, and when I read those obligations and warnings, it's not going well for me either. And so for some of us here, we try to be rule keepers, right? We think, well, we should do that. Man, I should love God, and I should keep those obligations. But maybe you're here and you're like, well, man, some weeks I have a good week and some weeks a bad week. And this has been a bad week. If you're like me, you know this. You know what you should do, but you can't do it. So we become rule keepers, merely. For others of us, we become rule breakers. And as it were, maybe you're seated here today and you know in your life there's rebellion. And in some ways, it's shaking the fist in the face of God as Israel does later and serving those idols that he told you to flee from. And in your heart, there's rebellion. And it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. Joshua says it's personal. Consider what you need. One writer says, the law of God is a mirror of God's holiness and our unrighteousness. It serves to reveal a need of a Savior. Hey, friend, if you're here and you read these obligations and warnings from Joshua 23, and maybe you're a rule breaker, or maybe you're trying to be a rule keeper, here's what we need. We need a Savior, right? What I need is a Savior. I know what the rules are. Joshua, I know what the obligations are. I want to know a God of promise like that. But I can't do these things. What I need is someone to save me from myself. We need a Savior. Jesus died for us to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, to live the life we could never live, to die the death that we deserve to die. The good news is Jesus Christ is that Savior. And later on in the Bible, it says he establishes a new covenant. And God says that new covenant is broader to a redefined Israel to us through our union with Jesus Christ. And that by believing in him, we have what we need because he died in our place on the cross. And friend, if you're here and you're tired of trying to keep the rules, or you're here and you're in rebellion breaking the rules, here's what you need, according to Joshua 23. Through the lens of these obligations and warnings, it's this: we need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. Question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? It's very interesting. In Matthew chapter 16, this is Jesus. He came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that I am? They replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Notice, but you, it's personal. But you, Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? That's the most important question you can answer in 2020. Do you hear me? When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? It's personal. And it is the most important question you can answer in 2020. Consider what you need. You need a Savior. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, repent and believe. Consider what you have. Keystone brothers and sisters, none of the good promises that the Lord has made to us have failed. You need a Savior. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the truth and the promise of a Savior through the warnings of Joshua, who puts before us great promise, all that we have in you, Lord, but also who puts before us great warning and great obligation. When we think about all that we need, and so, Lord, we look to Jesus Christ, who establishes that new covenant. Lord, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray if there's one here who doesn't know you as Savior, that, Lord, in understanding what it is that they need, they could understand what it is they can have through Christ. Thank you for the blood that was shed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's interesting as we go into communion, It kind of fits right in with what we're saying. When Jesus was with his disciples, and it was the Last Supper before he was crucified on the cross, here's what he said about the metaphor of the bread and the wine. He said, "This is the covenant in my blood." When Jesus died on the cross, he established that new covenant. Again, living a life we should have lived perfectly and dying the death we deserve to die. The new covenant. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. Listen, he is calling you to that. What you need is a Savior. And on the cross, he died for you. So let these elements pass if you don't know Jesus. And in your heart, cry out to him the best you know how. God, I need a Savior. I read the warnings and the obligations. I can't do that. Allow him, invite him into your life. Repent of your sin. Put your faith in him. That's God's desire for you. He has the power to save you. Keystone brothers and sisters, as we partake, remember this, he has the power to sanctify us as well. And maybe you're here and there's not been fellowship with God. Listen, as these elements come in your heart, confess sin to him. Remember what you have in him, that he's all you need, and turn back and allow this time to refresh you before the cross. I'm gonna pray. The ushers are gonna come receive the elements. As they distribute to you, hold on to those. We'll partake together as a body here in a moment. Lord God, we thank you for the promise of the cross, for Christ, that he's all we need, Lord, to know the promises of God. And so thank you for the blood that was shed, the body that was given for us. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.